This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Hour two, we've got our good buddy Mike Randall, FTN Fantasy, coming up. John Laub is going to talk week zero in college football. And right now, we're going to be joined by our buddy Frank Amaranti, the GameDay.com senior sports writer. You can find Frank. He does a great job on Twitter. F Amaranti TFJ. Now, unfortunately, Frank had to listen to a conversation between Dustin and I about Lionel Richie during the during a little break there, but he made it through. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Amaranti. Frank, how are you?
Oh, feeling great. Football season around the corner. Always love coming on this show, talking bets with you guys. I'm hyped.
Yep, let's do it. And you've got some week one leans as well. Get out in front of these numbers. We'll talk about the Jets and more. Let's get a quick baseball play in. Dustin was just talking about Bailey Ober, and you're going to go with under 1.5 walks on Ober.
Yeah, I like Ober under 1.5 walks, even with the juice at -170. You can find that at ESPN Bet. You look at Ober, 6.4% walk rate, which works out to just 2.28 walks per 9 innings. So this is a pitcher with strong control. In fact, he's often posted his under 1.5 walks around -200. So you get somewhat of a discount here at -170. And you look at Ober's matchup tonight against the Padres. The Padres ranked 28th in walk rate versus righties. So here we have a pitcher with strong control taking on an offense that likes to swing the bat and isn't as patient as others. So give me Ober under 1.5 walks.
Love it, Frank. So we're going to transition to football. Now, we were just actually talking about the Atlanta Braves and what a disastrous year the Braves have had as far as injury luck. We're going to start with your Jets and your Super Bowl play at 20-1. It obviously starts with Rodgers healthy. You know, that's where we start. Defensively, this could be a very special team. Upgrades on offense as well. And we'll start here with the Jets on a future Super Bowl 20-1.
All right, so let's start with the defense. Everyone knows that the Jets' defense is stacked, but let's just give you a sense just how stacked it is. Every offseason, Pro Football Focus ranks all the positional groups. Here's how the Jets came out on defense. First in defensive line, first in the secondary, first in linebackers. So absolutely stacked defense. You look at the offensive line for the Jets, which has been a common concern in recent years, and it's much improved. In fact, in those same rankings, PFF has the Jets fifth in offensive line. And that's because they made some good additions. They brought in Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, two experienced and effective tackles. They drafted another tackle with their first rounder in Olufashinu, who reportedly looks really good in camp, giving them depth. And let's not forget, a couple years ago, their first rounder, Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard, who's dealt with injury, is back and healthy. So they got a lot of depth on that line. You look at their receivers, they brought in Mike Williams, who, while he's off a torn ACL, he's still a contributor to give them a threat alongside Garrett Wilson, who's a stud. And Breece Hall in the backfield, they drafted Braylon Allen, who's a good backup, giving them another, you know, depth punch there. Also, Malachi Corley, their pick at receiver, could help with yards after the catch. Point is, Aaron Rodgers has no shortage of weapons for these Jets. And Aaron Rodgers, coming off the Achilles, I know it's a concern, but with the improved offensive line, it could help them keep Rodgers upright. But you got to think, this future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers has got a massive chip on his shoulder. You know, coming off the year in Green Bay where he was ineffective dealing with playing through the thumb injury, you know, you must have thought he's ready to prove himself, bounce back with the Jets last year. And then he gets hurt in the, first quarter? Imagine waiting that long to show the league that you still got it. And I think you don't count out, you know, such a terrific football player, you know, with a chip on his shoulder. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play really well with a very good supporting cast. And as a cherry on top, according to Sharp Football, the Jets have the fourth easiest schedule this year. So add all their off-season improvements and the easy schedule, you could see them win the division, potentially get a home game in the playoffs, maybe even the first round bye. And at 20-1, which is 11th ranked in the NFL, I mean, you got to love the value there.
That is a tremendous. He's been studying the Jets, Frank. That's a tremendous breakdown. 20-1 Jets Super Bowl from Mr. Amaranti. Now, the next one, I love a price, and we certainly have one. So Zeke Elliott, just jumping over the pile, potentially to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. Now, we got a price, 70-1. Let's go with Zeke back in Dallas.
All right. Everyone's probably laughing at this one. I know Zeke is well past his prime. You could even argue maybe he's cooked. But one thing that Zeke could still do is do well in short yardage. I mean, it was only 2022 when he rushed for 12 touchdowns last time he was with the Cowboys. Now, you look at Dallas, they still got a really good offense. They're going to be in the red zone frequently. They play at a fast pace. You know, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb there. But here's a stat. Tony Pollard last season had 60 red zone carries. That was second in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey. He only scored 6 touchdowns, so he didn't get it done for the Cowboys, Pollard, in the red zone. So that's why they brought Zeke back, because they needed to address a problem that they have in short yardage. So given the fact that it's only been 1 year removed that Zeke scored double-digit touchdowns, playing in a good offense, you know, you look at his backfield mate, Rico Dowdle, completely unproven. I mean, it's late in the offseason for the Cowboys to really add anyone to this backfield. Maybe if Khalil Herbert or someone becomes available at the end of preseason, but I don't expect that happening. So here you have Zeke, who's still good in short yardage, playing in an offense that will score a lot of points, be in the red zone often. I mean, at 70-1, you got to love that value. It kind of reminds me of 2022 when Jamal Williams led the league in rushing touchdowns with 17. No one thought that was a long shot as well when that happened. And it was a similar case, a running back who was in a committee with DeAndre Swift in a great offense, and he ended up scoring a lot of touchdowns. Love the value on Zeke.
Sold. I'm in. I love a nice sweat. 70-1. We can have fun with that. Why not? Frank, let's go week one. And this number's interesting. Minnesota at the Giants. So some shops are showing a pick 'em. Some are showing Minnesota laying one. Some are showing the Giants laying a point and a half. You got the Giants hosting Minnesota plus one here.
Yeah, I just don't think the Vikings at this stage should be favored on the road at any point. I mean, Sam Darnold, I know Kevin O'Connell is great with quarterbacks, but the fact is, this is Sam Darnold. He needs to show us before, you know, he deserves to be a road favorite. I know the Giants, everyone loves to hate on them, but the fact is, their defensive front could be a little bit scary, bringing in Brian Burns from the Panthers to go along with former first-rounder Kayvon Thibodeau, and they got Dexter Lawrence up there. So that pass rush could be a problem, especially for, you know, an erratic quarterback like Sam Darnold. Malik Nabers, the first-round receiver, is completely balling out in camp. Finally gives Daniel Jones the first wide receiver one of his career, like a legit potential star. And I know Daniel Jones, he's one of the worst starters in the league, but having a receiver like Nabers could at least help him a little bit. And let's not forget, this Giants team went to the playoffs in 2022. Brian Daboll is a good coach. Not to say the Giants are a playoff team this year, but in a home game against a Vikings team that has questionable quarterback play, and I didn't even mention the Vikings defense losing Danielle Hunter, their pass rush could be non-existent. They really need first-rounder Dallas Turner to show something, and he's a rookie. What's he going to show in game one? I mean, you can't expect too much. So given all that, Giants as short home dogs, I like them in week one.
Yeah, I like that play as well. The next one up is fascinating. So Vegas at the Chargers. It's going to be a home game in Los Angeles for the Vegas Raiders. What's interesting here, so Minshew named the starter. His number opened the Chargers 3. Yesterday got bet all the way up to 4.5. Now a little buyback, and we're sitting 3.5. with the Chargers laying it. So you're not going to mess with the side, but you do have a lean on the under 42.5 here.
Yeah, I like the under because let's start with the Chargers. It's clear that Jim Harbaugh wants to, you know, emphasize the running game and really bring more balance to the Chargers, who had been pass heavy the last couple seasons. You know, they pass on Malik Nabers, bringing in Joe Alt. That gives them a nice combo with former first rounder Rashawn Slater. They also, the Chargers, have a former first rounder at guard in Zion Johnson. They're improving in the trenches, the Chargers are. And I think they're going to really have an effective running game. And of course, if a team runs more, that slows down the game. It prevents the likelihood of a shootout, and it works well with the under. You look on the other side, the Raiders, same thing with Antonio Pierce, head coach. He loves to run the ball. And Gardner Minshew at quarterback, that's not going to be a pass-heavy offense. You look at the Raiders' defense, bringing in Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, going along with Max Crosby, stud edge rusher. They could have a low-key pretty good defense, the Raiders. So add in the fact Justin Herbert, while he practiced, he still has the foot injury that could linger in the season and affect his mobility. So against a vaunted pass rush like the Raiders have, I can't imagine, you know, the Chargers really dropping back too much. So here we have a divisional game, closely contested. I think there'll be a lot of running, which could lead to a low-scoring matchup.
Love it. Week one lean, Raiders, Chargers, under 42.5. The Giants catching one, hosting the Vikings. Zeke, 70-1, lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. I want to get in on that sweat. And the Jets Super Bowl, also Bailey Ober, under 1.5 walks. It just feels nice to literally be talking about week one of the NFL. And we will talk to you as the season gets closer. Frank Amaranti, of course, thegameday.com, senior sports writer, F. Amaranti, TFJ, on Twitter. Thanks, Frank. Great information.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure. You guys have a great day.
You too, buddy. Look forward to talking to you during the season as well. So, you know what? I kind of like that Zeke play. 70-1. Let's get a sweat going, big guy.
But just think about it. Think about the Cowboys. They drive down into the red zone. That's where a lot of these offenses stall with the passing game. Hand it off to Zeke. We know he's not running for 40 yards anymore. He's going to need the oxygen tank if that happens. I think I could run 40 yards quicker than Zeke. However, we're talking goal line situations. I don't hate the idea of him just punching it in. Your boy Jamal Williams led the league in touchdowns a few years ago. He barely ran for like 40 yards a pop.
Look at you. You nailed it. Speaking of which, our Sharp Money survivor has survived to live another day. We'll get to that next. Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to get into our Sharp Money survivor, our buddy Jake Novakovic. Shout to Pittsburgh. Had Trevor Rogers under 15.5 outs recorded yesterday. Hits with the prop, Dustin Sweetelson. Like to see it. Like to see our Sharp Money survivors mixing it up with the bets. And Novakovic, 1-0. He lives to survive another day.
Well, and he's good with the shtick. I'll tell you that. There's a little shtick in today's video. I enjoy the cut of his jib. I like his style.
If he stole it from me.
If he wanted me to like him, he made me like him with today's video. So I will say that about our guy Jay out there in Pittsburgh. How do I know he's from Pittsburgh? Well, one, personality screams Pittsburgh. Two, he had a pit flag hanging in the background of his office.
Yeah, it was a dead giveaway. Unless, I mean, again, anything can happen. He could literally live in Tennessee and just really love the city of Pittsburgh.
Are like two cities in one state more different? Or two cities, one state more different than like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh people? Like to say they're from the same, it's so weird.
Well, Philadelphia people are the worst and Pittsburgh people are the best.
Well, they're normal.
Is that what you're saying?
The Pittsburgh people are normal, like Americans, like normal people.
Where you got to cut the Philly people a little slack. Mm. They have a big time inferiority complex and it has nothing to do with Benjamin Franklin.
No, it's everyone around them is superior. All the cities that you could get to very quickly are superior to Philadelphia. That's the issue that Philly has. Like Philly claims part of New Jersey.
You've never been to Philadelphia.
First of all, been to Philadelphia many times. In fact, a guy tried to sell me marijuana when I was 16 in a shop in Philadelphia. I can't say whether or not I accepted his offer.
You didn't.
You're
afraid of gummies.
Of
why would you buy weed?
Of course. Everyone knows the first time I ever engaged in that activity was the Devil's 2003 parade. And then I went to a Hooters for dinner.
Nobody knows that.
Everyone does now.
Everybody knows now. It's time for Sharp Money Survivor. Our buddy Jake Novacek. Let's go.
Here he is. Sharp Money Survivor Play of the Day from our guy Jake.
How long can you last? It's time to see how the listeners of VSiN do. Your best plays. Your best bets. Longest streak wins.
We're going streaking!
It's Sharp Money Survivor. Pick or die.
What's up, Sharp Money? This is Jake with Sports Bet Splits on X. I am here for day two after cashing in on last night's pick. At Dustin's request, I have a Permanis sandwich, my favorite, the Capone. It's packed with salami, sausage, capicola, and they load it with coleslaw and French fries. That makes it world famous for them. So This is for you, Dustin.
Look at that. He's getting his grub on in the video. You love to see it.
Daddy bite.
Good Big stuff. Bite. That's a Pittsburgh bite.
So my play for today is the Kansas City Royals to not bat in the ninth, the bottom of the ninth inning. It's a clever way to get down on Kansas City without laying minus 210 price tag. I found this over at DraftKings at minus 140. The Royals have won 5 straight games, and the Angels have lost 6 of 7. Both teams are trending in opposite directions. I'll try to ride their streak. And Kansas City is also a much better team at home with a 39-25 record. Let's roll with them.
Okay, Jake Novakovich, let's go. We call that the Samich bet over at DraftKings. Mitigate some of the juice. Okay, no bat, bottom nine, win the ball game. That's a try. Now, I've never heard of the sandwich. First of all, sandwiches are undefeated.
Everything's better in sandwich form.
You won't meet a person that doesn't like a sandwich. All right? Now, whether or not you – look at them. And it sounded delicious. Now, you're either a person that grew up with psychopaths that cut the sandwich on a diagonal, or you grew up with a cool mom like me that just goes straight down.
No, what do you get more bites out of the sandwich on a diagonal.
That's factually incorrect.
No, it's a fact because it changes.
Same surface area.
No, the angles that you attack the sandwich with are different. You get at least 1.5 extra bites with the diagonal cut.
That is, you're making that up.
It's 100%
true. Can you help us understand that the Pittsburgh, look at that sando.
So
that, I am. Again, I'm not eating today, so this is hard, but help me.
Also, I'm challenging the listeners at Dustin Sweetelson at The Rap Radio on Twitter. If you can find me a food that isn't better in sandwich form, I'll congratulate you. But every single food on the planet is better in sandwich form. So the Primanti Brothers, it's like this fresh, thick, white-cut bread. Kind of like me, thick, white-cut bread. And they just layer a bunch of different deli meats on it, French fries, and coleslaw. And everything's better with coleslaw on it.
That's not true.
It is. Coleslaw, there's a big issue in this country. We don't treat coleslaw appropriately. A lot of people view coleslaw as a side. It is not a side. It is a condiment. It's good on things. It's not good in a bowl by itself.
Coleslaw is just for grandparents, right? Coleslaw is what they throw on the side just for
filler.
Decoration.
It's filler.
It's filler. Yeah, just kind of like this segment.
Well, I'll give you a bet if you want something that's not filler.
No, we'll get to the bet in a second. I do have one quick gripe with my boy Jake Novakovich. A lot of Dustin talk during it, and not a lot about me. So it didn't make me feel great.
Well, I think people have learned the key to the contest to get in is to butter me up. And then I'm the one he's texting. I can give him your number if you'd like.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Jake seems like a lovely person. And look at him. That is, and nothing says Pittsburgh. Now, if I'm being completely honest, the Pitt flag in the background is a little sad.
Well, we could use a little bit of supporting cast around it. Feels lonely. feels isolated.
It looks like, how do I say this delicately? It looks like they may be filming a casting couch video.
Yeah. On the other side of the room, there's a black leather couch, a tripod, and a camera, and that's it.
Okay, we've got Randall coming up in just a little bit from FTNFantasy.com. But I wanted to bring this up with you. And it's something that we haven't discussed off the air, but I was thinking about it last night. You know, I was sitting there with my popcorn watching the VSiN Superstars on the documentary last night, which was tremendous. You should go check it out. It's over at VSiN.com. And maybe you can even find the re-air over at VSiN Live on X.
You can.
But I was thinking about that. You know, I was watching and you met Matt Brown and Gil and the rest of the crew.
Stormy.
I
mean,
Stormy. You know, Thesbs. The delivery, the acting, you know, I couldn't tell if it was De Niro and Pacino or Alexander and Brown. Being serious. And then that might have been Julia Roberts, a.k.a. Stormy Bonatoni. Now, That brings me to the question. Are you and I going to do Circus Survivor together as a team this year?
Yeah, I thought we were going to do what we did last year. Do we not want to include Mike Somich because he butts all of our dreams and aspirations?
Well, the only reason I will include Somich, because then we don't have to pay $500 a piece.
Yeah, see, I'd rather lose the $333 if we lose, but we're not going to lose. We become millionaires.
We should. Okay, we'll include, you know what? We'll include Somich.
And Halterman.
And we'll include Halterman. $250.
Because
you already owe us for the show bet on the Carolina Panthers, $1,000.
Dude, you guys
got the Commanders.
No, you're crazy. The Carolina Panthers are going to be the best team of our group.
You think I just heard an interview today with Dan Quinn. I got to tell you, if we're just judging franchises on vibes right now, the Commanders, they're going to win double digits.
Okay.
That's a 10-win team.
I'm glad you said that. So this is your boy Dan Quinn. Was he surprised where Jaden Daniels is with his development?
It didn't surprise me. We knew we would get here, but we were just excited to see how we would. And so seeing him hit all the spots, this is a rare competitor. And those are the things that I knew about him. But seeing it in your own building, on your own team, you know, around new teammates, that was cool to see. And so he's just, you know, had a remarkable start to things here. He's earned the respect of teammates and coaches and people inside of the building.
Alpha.
He's pretty composed.
One word. Dan Quinn, alpha male.
Yeah, so is Dave Canales.
Well, so anyway, those that aren't following, I've got the Commanders, Dustin's got the Carolina Panthers, and Mike Somich has Gardner Minshew and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mike's coming in last, let's be real. The Raiders stink.
So is this official? We'll have a Circus Sweat on
yes.
Sharp? Well, if Sharp Money, you know. We'll have a Circus Sweat Survivor 250. Chopped up four ways.
Got to come up with a good team name, though.
Well, I'll leave that up to you because I don't care.
I know you don't.
A team name.
Well, if I come up with a team name, then I should get more of a cut when we win the $9 million.
Got more NFL plays next. Mike Randall joins us. It's pretty easy. Everybody knows our next guest is the GOAT. He's my favorite guest that we have on the program. I'll say that out loud. He's Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. They have models. They do a ton of extensive work when it comes to the NFL, college football, every sport. So FTNFantasy.com. He's the chief content officer at Randall Rant on Twitter. And he joins us. We were talking circa 97. There was an opportunity that Randall almost lived in Vegas. How would life have gone differently if you made the plunge and moved to Las Vegas back in 97?
Sliding doors moment. College girlfriend and I walking around a big educational fair. Guy walks over, says, hey, we'll hire both of you guys right now on the spot. You're a math teacher. We have an elementary teacher here as your girlfriend. Maybe you guys get married. We need to hire 13,000 teachers, something like that, in the summer of 1997. Could have been there right next to you, but guys, as in sliding doors, we find our way back to each other no matter what happens.
Yeah, and well, in kind of an unspoken part of that story, it didn't quite work out with you and the young lady.
Right. Didn't work out with me and the young lady, but then, as you know, the current blind date, J.J. Redick at the bar, here we are two kids later. That's how life works out, guys. Greatness.
You're the best. The Patriots, let's start with your week one plays. Okay. You got the Pats catching 9. I think you're down on the Bengals. You can help me here. I feel like you're one of the only ones, maybe not as high on the Bengals this year. The Patriots are going to be awful, but that doesn't matter. We're going to take the 9 with the Patriots week one.
Did I miss the memo that the Bengals are some unstoppable force just because they have a fourth place schedule? Jamar Chase, side of a milk carton, holding out with 2 years left on the contract. That doesn't look to get resolved anytime soon. A lot of faith here in Zach Moss and Chase Brown in the backfield. Folks, Zach Taylor, first two games of every year as head coach with the Bengals. 0-2, 0-2, 1-1, overtime win. 0-2, 0-2. That's 1-9 here in his 5 years as the Bengals head coach. Shows to me that they don't get off to a great start. Jamar Chase not there. 9.5's a lot. I'm with you on the Patriots. but it is week one. I don't think the Patriots are going 0-16, and I don't think the Bengals are some dominant team. I will take the 9.5. This line has creeped up way too much. Guys, you're going to give me double digits in week one, potentially? No chance. I'll take the Patriots.
Yeah, you can find a 9.5 in the market right now. I'm seeing some nines. DraftKings is showing 9. FanDuel showing Cincinnati laying 9.5. So get the best of the number there with the Patriots. Onward. The Panthers catching 4.5 at the Saints. What's your take here?
Patrick, 67-40-1. You know what that is? That's divisional underdogs against the spread in week one. I happen to not like the Saints, and I do like Carolina with the new head coach in Dave Canales, Deontay Johnson there. Solid defense for Carolina. I will take these points. It's now 5. Look at that. The gift that keeps on giving. I will take them against New Orleans here. New Orleans with an offense very up and down. Taysom Hill at the goal line. We can get to that in a little bit. But I think it's too many points for a divisional underdog. And, folks, everyone's fading the Panthers after last year, just like they faded C.J. Stroud and Kyron Williams prior to the season as well last year. I'll take the 5 with the Panthers.
A big smile on the big guy's face because he is backing the Carolina Panthers this year. Makes you feel good to get the cosign from Mr. Randall?
Yeah, Randall, look. Patrick cornered us, made a bet with myself and Mike Somich, you know from the handle, and said he loves the Commanders. Me and Somich laughed at him that he loves the Commanders so much. He said, okay, find a team with a similar win total, similar record from a year ago. Whoever has the best record wins our bet. Loser has to pay $1,000 to the winner. Well,
I love it.
He chose Washington. Somich chose the Raiders. I chose last, and I went Panthers, and I feel great about it.
The password, Dustin, is Moneyline. That's what it is for week one, my friend. Enjoy.
Oh, the Texans at the Colts week one. Now, I got 1.5. The Texans laying it at the Colts. We can find to see if this number's adjusted at all, but you do like the Texans here on the road week one.
I do, and this goes against the number because, again, I am my own person here, my own better, and 26-14 home dogs here week one against the spread, but that's 14 times that they've lost. I think it's going to happen here. I like this Texan team, added Stephon Diggs. Defense is solid. Anthony Richardson has not looked good in practice. I think the Colts are going to be frisky. I just don't like them in week one. This game will be close, Patrick, but I think the Texans pull away, get a 3-point win or something, so I will lay the 1.5 here on the road here in the division rival. I don't care about it. I'll take Texans -1.5.
We got a number of 4, 4.5. So you're going to take Tennessee at you. Chicago's going to be a fascinating team as far as pricing all year. I think they're overvalued in the market right now. But week to week, because of the Williams flash, it's going to be interesting to see how they're priced. You're going to take the Titans catching 4.5 in week one.
Underdogs in week one, when they are over 3-point underdogs and did not make the playoffs the year before, have been covering in week one for the last decade at about a 60% rate. I like the Bears. Caleb Williams, great offense, but let's take it easy with 4.5 points. Will Levis, solid bunch of receivers, solid defensive front as well. Can't run on the Titans, so he's going to have to attack him through the air. We'll gladly take the 4.5 here. This is the public overrating Caleb Williams and the Bears. 4.5 is too much. You know, 3, 7, 8, those are critical numbers. 4.5, I'll gladly take here on a Titans team that no one is backing. Tony Pollard looks healthy. A lot of weapons for the Titans, and DeAndre Hopkins will be back.
Hey, there you go. Now, you've got some anytime touchdown props. I want to start with anytime touchdown Chargers, Gus Edwards, +230 versus the Raiders. That's an interesting one. That's going to be a home game in Los Angeles for the Raiders. But before you get to Gus Edwards, what'd you think about Minshew being named the starter there?
Little surprised by that. I think the Raiders, when they get out of this year, need to know what they have in Aiden O'Connell. I don't think there's any benefit to giving Minshew an extended run. I think the issue was the interception with O'Connell. I was watching that game live. I said, oh, the O'Connell bet's going to cash here week one. Then he threw that pick six. Antonio Pierce has no patience for that whatsoever. So I think I was surprised. I get it. But I do think at some point they have to give Aiden O'Connell an extensive run because you don't want to get to the end of the season and say, what do we have in O'Connell? I don't know. No, you need to know because you need to plan for the draft.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Gus Edwards, +230, anytime touchdown against the Raiders week one. Anytime touchdown, Cleveland, Dante Foreman, plus 340. Nice little price here, Randall, against the Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll start with Gus Bus. The most reliable thing in the NFL this year, death, taxes, and the Chargers are going to run the ball. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. Frank Gore, everybody loves Frank Gore. Four consecutive years, basically 1,200 rushing yards with San Francisco when Harbaugh was there. He is going to run it for sure. And Gus Edwards at the goal line is going to get the ball in week one. I don't know why this number is where it is. I expect it to go down. I like J.K. Dobbins also, but Gus Bus is going to get the ball. Now let's go to the Browns. We know Nick Chubb isn't going to start here. Deonta Foreman played in the last preseason game for the Browns, and this is, guys, where we can learn by watching the preseason. It's how I won a fantasy title with Arian Foster several years ago. Deonta Foreman is getting the ball at the goal line. It's not Jerome Ford. You're going to give me over 3-1 on Foreman getting the ball at the goal line. When he got it, he looked good. He was healthy. He recovered. He had the scare in practice, but he's totally healthy here. It's not going to be Jerome Ford. I get it that they have to get there and be at the goal line or that area, but Deonta Foreman's going to get a lot more carries than Jerome Ford truthers like, so I love that number here, hitting at plus 340 with the Browns.
Juicy. You got an anytime touchdown no on your boy, the aforementioned Taysom Hill, plus 185 versus the Panthers.
Oh, I think he's getting it. No, this is a yes, Patrick.
Oh, this is a yes. Okay.
Yo, I think Taysom Hill's getting it. Their usage of Taysom Hill, the narrative is consistent. What I'm reading, what I'm seeing, he got a goal line touch the other day. Jamal Williams looked terrible. Alvin Kamara, where is he? Nobody knows. I think Taysom Hill is going to be used in a lot of different ways, running, catching, handoffs, anytime touchdown at plus 180, plus 185, whatever it is, I will take it. Taysom Hill is a great fantasy play here, we feel, at FTN because he's tight end eligible in a lot of these leagues. So these are three players with good numbers that I'm basing it off of the usage in the preseason. And with the Chargers and the Gus Bus, it's Jim Harbaugh, and he runs the damn ball.
And that's a yes on Taysom Hill, plus 185 versus the Panthers. Love it. You can check out the models and the numbers over at FTNFantasy.com. Go stop by and say hi to the GOAT, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant on Twitter. Randall, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys. Thanks.
All right. See you later, buddy. There goes Rant. Randall's all over it. FTN Fantasy. You'll love to see it.
The Foreman play, I especially like. Not just the number that he's getting at plus 320. Remember last year, they had a bunch of different running backs filling in for Nick Chubb. That team likes to run the football. We still don't know the status of Deshaun Watson's arm. I think Foreman getting in the end zone week one is very likely.
Yes, sir. We've got rookies. Part of the reason I like the Cardinals over is because they're going to play three rookies. Now, Drake May, that conversation is still up in the air. I don't think the GOAT, the real GOAT, Tom Brady, is a big fan of rookies starting. We'll hear from your boy Tom Brady. We'll get into some Brazilian soccer for the big guy. Kulo, you know?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
Oh, you know.
It's expensive.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have Heisman odds, which we're going to discuss in the upcoming hour. We also have John Lobb. Fantrax does a great job with college football. We've got week zero coming up this weekend. It's tremendous. It just is, Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. It appears you want to say something?
No, look, I'm excited for week zero. I'm a big week zero guy. However, it's only four games. Feels like we normally get like six, seven, eight games. There's one big one, Florida State, Georgia Tech in Ireland. And I love the dog in that one. We can get into that at another time. But it just feels like week zero, if we're going to embrace week zero, it's going to be a part of our lives every year, we deserve more than four games. That's all.
Ever been to Ireland?
I have never left the North American continent.
Okay. It's a good job by you, Dustin, over there. I actually have a Heisman play.
Oh.
At a little bit of a price.
Oh.
That I love. Ooh. Don't like it. Love it. We've got Tom Brady talking about the rookies starting, and we've got some numbers. We've got a market on the rookies. We'll get to that. Before we play the Brady clip, If I were to, like, everybody can play this little experiment right now. You're watching on YouTube TV. You're listening on iHeartRadio. I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then I'm going to give you a second to think about it and fill it out. Forcing you right now to give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Go.
Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow. I need one more. Is it Stroud? Is it Stafford? Stafford.
Okay. So you went Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Stafford.
I'd probably flip Burrow above Lamar, but yeah, that's about the only change I'd make.
Are you curious what Tom Brady thinks?
Sure.
Okay. So Tom Brady put together his top five. I think Peyton Manning did this. Go Google Peyton Manning. He did this the other day as well. So Tom Brady, let's compare and contrast. So Tom Brady put together his top five quarterbacks present day NFL. He's got Patrick Mahomes number one, no shock. He's got Josh Allen number two. He's got Lamar Jackson number three. He's got Joe Burrow number four. So he matches up with your top four.
Oh, that's interesting.
His fifth, Brady says Aaron Rodgers is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, that's either he does believe that, and that's fine. He's allowed to believe whatever he believes. Or he has to say that, because if not, then it becomes a story and Aaron Rodgers starts talking about it.
It's very fair. What'd Manning say?
Manning went Mahomes, Burrow, yep. Herbert, yep. Jackson, Allen.
Burrow's my number two. Allen's my number three. Jackson's my number four. And I don't have a five.
Allen earned a lot of my respect last year. I realized how much he just
You got to win that home game. You got to win that home game in the postseason against the Chiefs.
Okay, but your boy.
He was good in the game.
And too. I love Burrow. But your boy Burrow, there's always something. Like, if there's just always something wrong, and he's not available when it matters. And I'm going to hold it against him. We had a $1,000 free roll. We bought low on the Bengals at 40-1.
That's facts.
And he literally hurts his hand, done for the year, ticket torn up, right as they were catching their stride. So that you have to acknowledge, when Burrow plays, he's phenomenal, but there's just always something around that guy.
All facts, no printer. I did acknowledge it. I'm just saying, all things considered equal, I'll take Burrow. Now, let's hear from the GOAT talking about the rookie class, Tom Brady. What do we have?
Yeah, look, he's not a fan that we just, in the NFL today, you get drafted high, you're forced into playing right away, and this is what Tom Brady had to say about that on the Stephen A. Smith Show.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like at Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is, the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is discourages the coaches from going to deep levels, because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at.
He is going to be saying some stuff. Oh. That's Tom Brady. Now, I have thoughts. First off, Tom was peeking out the blinds and letting those kids know, you got to get off the lawn. Tom, take it easy.
Back in my day, shtick
is a little much. Let's take a look at the rookies in the pre. First off, what do you expect? Williams is ready to go. Jaden Daniels started 5 years in college. He's ready to go. That is the best option for the Commanders. He's perfect in the preseason, Jaden Daniels. Williams has been phenomenal in the preseason. Bo Nix is going to be your starter. And again, if I was Stephen A. Smith there, I'd press back a little bit and say, well, would you not be starting Nix? Would you not start Williams? Would you not start Daniels? Now comes the interesting one. You want to follow up quickly before I get to the interesting one?
I was going to say, there's exceptions to these rules, right? There's some guys who are ready right away, but I look at a guy who's going to start for Minnesota this year in Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold should have never had to play his rookie year. But because coaches' jobs are on the line, they have three years of a window to show improvement, Sam Darnold had to play right away. He didn't get a chance to develop. If Sam Darnold had gotten the Jordan Love treatment, I think we're talking about a totally different quarterback at this point in his career.
Let's get the rookie of the year market, offensive rookie of the year market out here, big guy, because I think we got to take a look at the price on Penix. So
I agree.
Here's the deal. I don't think Cousins is ready. Cousins busted up his ACL or whatever in week 9. He's 36 years old. There is some covert stuff going on. Again, weird quote from Raheem Morris about why Penix wasn't going to play last time out. I think they got him in bubble wrap because I genuinely don't think Cousins is going to be good to go. We have heard nothing about Cousins. Now, Cousins says he's good. I don't quite believe it. And you take a look at the market right now. Where do we find?
He's deep. I found
Michael
him.
Penix Jr.
Got to get your binoculars out, but he's 100-1.
You got to get your binoculars if you want to find that price.
100-1, and I think there is some credence to what you're saying. The only reason you don't let Michael Penix play in the preseason, where realistically, if things go the way they're supposed to for the Falcons, Penix isn't going to play any meaningful football this year. So the only reason you would hold him out of this preseason is because you don't want other teams to know what you intend to do with him, how he fits your scheme, how he fits your system. So you don't put that on film for them to use. You can catch them by surprise. And the only way that happens is if Kirk Cousins isn't 100% right away. Also, could go into why they drafted Penix to begin with, because they always had questions if Cousins would be ready for the start of this season. So because of that, at 100-1, you hit it a little small. I think it's worth it because that thing could be cut in half if he ends up starting week one.
The conversation in Atlanta what they did was asinine. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Because now we're trying to justify it. We've been given so much time since the draft. Let me put it this way. In an ideal situation, the Atlanta Falcons use the 8th overall pick on a 24-year-old quarterback that's ready to play right now. Sorry, Tom. He just is. And Penix Jr. But here's the rub, Dustin, why I don't love their strategy and why I think it's abhorrent. In a perfect world, they don't want Penix to play for 2 years.
Yes.
And make it make sense.
No, there is no sense to make of it, because if you wanted a quarterback, you could take a developmental guy, not a guy who's ready to hit the ground running. You also owe it to the player. The player's in a horrible situation for his career.
Horrible
He's now
situation.
Starting behind the eight ball. So when he really gets an opportunity to hit free agency, who even knows what kind of film is going to be out there for him? It's bad for him. It's bad for the team. But I do think 100-1 is worth a little bit of a nibble right now.
I totally agree.
I'd get a taste totally in case he ends up having to play.
Look, Cousins, it's generally about a year recovery.
Yeah.
You're going to have some people recover week 9. What is that, October last year?
Yeah.
He ain't ready. Be fascinating.
And
that quarterback room is wild.
And by the way, the rest of it's in place in Atlanta. They fixed the back end with Simmons. They brought in an edge rusher in Judon. Team's ready to hit the ground running, win right away. You can't have anyone making mistakes at quarterback. Can't have someone who's not 100% healthy.
Week 0 college football. John Law is going to join us next. Sharp Money.